Famous preacher, his name was G. Campbell Morgan, had four sons. All of those four sons became preachers in their own way. So there were four sons that were preachers, and there was the father that was a preacher, and they were at a family reunion. And one of the cousins turned and looked at one of the sons and said, "Which Morgan is the greatest preacher? Dad? Son number one, son number two, son number three, or son number four?" To which immediately the son that he was talking to looked at his father and said with authority, "Mom." Mom was the greatest preacher that there was. You see, today we're going to talk about how a mom's life and legacy is good preaching to their kids. Maybe you remember the commercial. It aired in the late 80s. I remember it when I was a kid. And I kind of want to show you a snippet of it real quick just so you kind of know what I'm talking about.
"I've fallen and I can't get up."
All right. So you remember? How many of y'all remember that commercial? "I've fallen and I can't." They've revived it over the last few years since the 80s. They brought it back. They have obviously different actors because I'm not sure that lady is still with us. God bless her. I don't know what else. They've revived it. But the message remains, it remains the same.
"I can't get up."
I think this illustrates Mother's Day. "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up." I want to talk to you this morning. My wife says that mother is Greek for guilt. Mother is Greek for the word guilt. You just feel guilt. The world makes you feel, tries to make you, attempts to make you feel guilty, no matter what decision you make as a mom. I mean, if your kids aren't kind enough, if your kids aren't respectful enough, that one time you're labeled as a mom as a failure and you feel guilty about it. If your children aren't intelligent enough, if your children aren't caring enough, if they're not courteous enough, if they're not refined enough or successful enough or loving enough, forget this, if your children aren't clean enough, then you start to feel bad because you feel guilty. And if you feel like that, then you might feel a little bit like this.
"I've fallen and I can't get up."
And if you feel that way as a mom, I want you to know you haven't fallen and you can get up, that it's possible that you can overcome. You have not ruined your child. Can we just say that right now? You have not ruined your child for all of eternity. That mistake that you made, that you have not stunted their growth as a human being. You are not the roadblock and the obstacle to them being successful in their life. Stop. I know that you feel guilty, but you haven't limited your child's potential. You might feel overwhelmed at times. We're here to support you. We're not trying to candy coat something, mistakes that have been made, because we have to be really honest about those. But children are extremely resilient, especially when grace is given, grace is received. You haven't. It's going to be okay. And so what I want every mom in the house to do right now is this. Yeah, it's probably the only deep breath you're going to get even on Mother's Day, but we want you to enjoy that deep breath just for a few moments. It is a huge responsibility to raise children. If you agree, say amen. Huge responsibility, but God is with you. So what I want to do this morning is tell you the story about two ladies that we don't know a whole lot about, but I've done an incredible amount of research to try to find out more about their life from books and history books and so forth, that hopefully we can get an understanding of these two wonderful ladies. The first lady's name is Lois. Everybody say Lois. She learned to love to read the Old Testament scriptures. She grew up as a godly young woman in likely the home of a family that wasn't so godly. So something happened in her life, and we don't know what it was, that drew her to the scriptures, that drew her to God's word. Maybe you can understand that. Maybe you didn't have a godly upbringing. You're not being disrespectful to your parents, but maybe you get that. I get that. And so, but something drew her to the word of God. And she married. And although the Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about her husband, we do know this about her husband, that her husband was of Greek descent. How do we know that? Because they named their daughter Eunice, because they had a daughter. And that Eunice is a Greek name. Now, why is that important? Because Lois married a Greek man. And we know at that time that Greek citizens had thousands of lowercase g gods in their culture. And so it's very likely that Lois married somebody who did not know know God, capital G. And so she married this man whom she loved, and he probably was very good to her, but it was very drawing probably to her to maybe turn to these other gods. But she chose to remain faithful to the one true God. And she made it her job to teach and to train her daughter, whose name was Eunice, the ways of God, according to the Old Testament scriptures, from the very beginning. That's a committed mom. Can you say amen? And Eunice, having been raised by a godly mom, she got victory over the culture in which she was raised, because she was raised in the Greek culture, which means that all of her little friends, all the little minion friends that she had running around the Greek elementary school that they had, probably their families worshipped thousands of different gods. It's called polytheism. Polytheism doesn't really matter, but that just means when you worship more than one god. And so they probably had all kinds of friends, spent the night at her house and so forth, as they were giggling and laughing under the fort they made in the living room, talking about things their families talk about, which were probably maybe their beliefs spiritually. So Eunice had to have victory over all this without being mean-spirited, and she was. She got victory over this immoral society because Eunice was a godly young woman. She fell in love. The Bible tells us that she fell in love with a young man and got married, but guess what? He too was a Greek. Here's the thing about marriage for your children. The pool that you put them in of boys, it's probably one of the boys that they're going to select. So when we talk about dialing in relationships with your children and dialing out relationships with your children, I'm as serious as a heart attack as I stand before you. It's your job to do that. It's not their job to dial in healthy relationships because they don't know what that is. It's your job to make sure your children are dialed into healthy relationships. Do you understand that? Yes? And it's not too late. You can still do that. That doesn't always mean saying no, but it might mean saying no. But it's usually about offering alternatives. It's about facilitating and fostering their lives in such a manner that they'll have healthy relationships. And so Eunice had probably some healthy relationships, but her pool of boys to choose from was limited when it comes to godly men because they lived in a wicked and depraved culture. And so she fell in love with a young man. She got married to this young man, but he too was a Greek. And because of that, we know that he also likely followed one of thousands of different lowercase g gods in that culture. So she followed in the footsteps of her godly mother. But she still followed in those footsteps. And to that union, to Eunice and her husband, was born a little boy, little Timbo was born. His name was Timothy, or Timmy, or Tim, whatever you want to call him. Timothy was a young man, and he grew up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord under the tutelage of his mom, Eunice, and his grandma, Lois. And together they poured into Timothy the scriptures from a very young age. Now keep in mind, this is before Jesus. This is before Jesus Christ. This is before the New Testament. So we're talking about a period of time, well, before the church was really exploding and growing. We're talking about a period of time that the people of faith to God were focusing on the Old Testament, the first 39 books of the Bible, right? And when they're focusing on that, it's all about a Redeemer is coming. The Messiah is coming. That soon we're going to be rescued from this depraved generation that we're part of. And so they were teaching him the scriptures all about the Old Testament story, some of which we're learning right now in our churches. We're studying the life of Joseph in our series. Now we're putting that series on hold until after Mother's Day, but we'll continue on that next week. And so Timothy was this young man, and he had all this great teaching. And something happens in the life of this family. A missionary shows up to their little town of Lystra, and he decides he's going to have a tent revival. I can only assume that because he was a tent maker by trade. And this missionary, whose name was Paul, shows up and has this evangelistic crusade, this opportunity for people to understand and hear that the Old Testament stories and prophecies about the Messiah is going to come has been fulfilled, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And he has shown up and he has given his life as a sacrifice for all. And if you will receive him, you will find eternal life. And so they're at this rally or this crusade or this meeting or this home meeting. I'm not sure what it is, but they give their lives. Lois and Eunice and likely Timothy give their lives to Jesus Christ, but then they have to start walking it out, and they don't have the New Testament to do that with like you and I do. They have faith in God and the communion of the saints. What does that mean? That means relationship. Let's talk about it. Let's walk this life out together. The fear and the admonition of the Lord. And so Paul leaves and they grow in their faith, and something powerful is happening. Something else happens. As I've done some research, Lois's husband and Eunice's husband, the father of Timothy and the grandfather of Timothy, somewhere along that line, prior to Paul's preaching, they must have died. And the reason we know that is because their family was isolated. Their family was just the three of them, the grandma, the mama, and the son. The gentlemen were out of the picture. Divorce wasn't an option, so they must have somehow succumbed to death. Maybe together, we don't know. Maybe apart, maybe years apart, maybe in the same year. There's a lot of trauma going on in that family. There's a lot of struggle going on in that family. A lot of opportunity for faith to be diminished in that family, but instead they chose to cling to the scriptures. And then when Paul shows up and gives this message of hope, clarity, and understanding that Jesus Christ has come and he is alive. He is not confined to the grave any longer. He overcame it all. And they received the message, and it must have given them tremendous hope. And the Bible tells us that after Paul left, they grew in their faith. And as iron sharpens iron, they memorized the scriptures, but the scriptures were now new because now they could see from the other side. And from the other side, the Messiah had come and all the dots are being connected. And I'm sure that they've got all these scriptures memorized. And so the prophecies, the foretelling that Jesus is going to come has been memorized. And they're hearing the stories of Jesus and it's clicking in their brains. And sure enough, it's all lining up. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 20, that Paul makes the following statement about Timothy. There is no one like Timothy. So something happened in little Timbo's life during this time, because in the time that Paul visited them the first time and the time that Paul returned the second time, Timothy had become this young, very, very young, like teenage young leader in the capital C church. He was leading and teaching and praying with people and binding and loosing and helping people to experience the fullness of God. It was a powerful thing. Many years later, we know that Paul ends up in prison. He's going to be killed for his preaching, even though he's done nothing wrong. And so he writes a couple of letters. And two of the books in the New Testament are called 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Timothy didn't write those. Those are letters from his mentor, Paul, writing those letters to little Timbo, telling him that I'm fixing to die, but you're going to carry the torch. I'm fixing to be put to death, but you're the guy. You are the dude with the food. You're the man that's going to, with the plan. You're the guy that's going to spread this good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the four corners of the earth. What? All of this is happening, and it's all happening so quickly. So Paul writes these two letters to young Timothy, and in these books we have instructions, lots of instructions on how little Timbo is supposed to be this great preacher in the region known as, the city known as Ephesus. So Paul is helping to dial in and dial out some things in Timbo's life as a mentor, as a spiritual father to the fatherless. And as Paul writes in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, this young man, among many things, he reflects upon how Timothy had such a godly grandmother and such a godly mama. I want to read 2 Timothy chapter 1. That's where we're going to hang out. I'm going to put it on the screen. I should have told you we're in 2 Timothy. That's toward the end of your Bible. It's on page 1004. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5. This is, again, a letter that Paul is writing to Timothy, and here's what he says. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. That is a powerful verse. 2 Timothy 1:5, one more time. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois. That means first lived in your grandmother Lois. She was the matriarch of the faith in their family. I am the patriarch of the faith in our family. My wife is the matriarch of the faith in our family. Now, I wish I had a testimony that said I wasn't. Everybody understand what I'm talking about? Because a patriarch and a matriarch is a starting point. And for some of you, that's what you are also. Welcome to the club. But I'm praying, I'd never want ever there to be another patriarch and matriarch in the family lineage of Troy and Keeley Stein. You know what I'm talking about? Because it should never be broken. The chain should never be broken. And that's why these things are so important. Dedicating our children publicly and making a promise to the Lord and to the world that we're going to do all we can and then we're going to trust you to do the rest, God. So we're looking at this thing and we're discovering that grandmother Lois and the mother Eunice not only communicated the truth, but they must have demonstrated the truth. Look at what it says again, of your sincere faith, which lived in your grandmother and in your mother Eunice. It lived in them. I want my faith to live in me, not just to be spoken from me, but I want my faith to be, that's who I am. It's my identity. Can you understand what, say yes, 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 yes. That's what we want. That's the whole point of coming to church, is learning and growing and how to make this stuff be alive inside of us so that we're not different when we get out to the parking lot. So we're not different when we get up on Monday morning. So we're not different on Saturday night. In other words, if your Christianity doesn't work at home, then it doesn't work. If it doesn't work at home, it simply doesn't work. There were four Bible scholars that were arguing over Bible translations. Now, you know, there's a lot of different translations of God's word. And there's translations and there's paraphrases and all kinds of different things and linguistics experts and all these things that put these things together. And these Bible scholars were arguing over which translation was the best. And the first one said, I prefer the King James Version because it's of its beauty and its eloquent old English. Another said he preferred the American Standard Bible for its literalism and the way it moves the reader from passage to passage with confident feelings of accuracy based upon the original text. Another one said he preferred the Message paraphrase version because of its quaint, penetrating use of words and the way it uses phrases to capture the attention of the reader. And they looked at the fourth guy and which one do you like? Hoping that he would agree with one of them. And he said, I personally prefer my mother's translation. The other scholars chuckled and said, your mom translated the Bible? And he responded, yeah, you better believe she translated the Bible. She translated every page of the Bible into the life that she lived before me. It's the most convincing, he said, it's the most convincing translation I've ever read. And that's the translation of the Bible we want you to also have as your favorite. Is to live it out. I want you to know that Paul says, I am reminded of your sincere faith. The word sincere means not hypocritical. It means consistent. It means the same. It was real. It wasn't fake. It wasn't a facade. Timothy witnessed a genuine faith in his mom's heart. He witnessed a genuine faith in his grandmother's heart. And now that genuine faith was also inside of him. It's not the teachings. It's not the telling. It's the living. But it's both and. It's not either or. You need to teach your children the precepts of God's word from the very beginning. And if you didn't start from the beginning, well then, the beginning date that you need to start is May 13, 2018. It starts today. And I'm going to give you some tips in just a minute how to do that. As a result of grandmama and mama teaching Timothy, literally millions of people have come to know Jesus Christ through the teaching and preaching and examples of little Timbo. Pretty awesome. Pretty amazing. The world was rocked because of a grandmama that said, I'm not going to go the ways of the world. The world was rocked because of a mama that said, I'm not going to go the ways of the world.
The world was rocked because little Timbo chose to follow the precepts of faith that was given to him from his grandmother and from his mother. These two mothers were completely sold out to Jesus Christ. They were serious about their faith. In my opinion, they were fully devoted and completely committed. But here's the kicker. Timothy knew it. He knew it. He saw it. He lived with it. Were they perfect? No way. How do I know that? Well, because they were human beings, number one. But number two, they had it rough. Remember, they married a couple of Greek men with all sorts of cultural and spiritual influences that they had in their home. That's called, by the way, demonic oppression in the home. When you invite other spiritual flavors, let's say lowercase g gods, to come into your home through various people, you are opening the door to something pretty evil in your home. And you've got now to deal with the demonic influence. I'm not trying to freak you out, but if you want to talk about that, we can help you with that. Here's how you solve that issue. You close those doors. You seal them tight. You don't give the enemy a foothold. I mean, you don't let him stick his toe in the door when you're trying to slam it. You kick him out, and there's a way of doing that that works. They chose to teach Eunice. Mama Eunice and Grandmama Lois chose to teach Timothy the Old Testament scriptures, and they did it in such a way that Timothy must have loved the Bible. You see, I hear this from parents. I'm so mad at you. Get in your room, and you're going to write 5 chapters from Genesis right now. Oh, that's a good idea. Right on. Way to go. You're going to love the Word of God now, son, right? So we don't use the Word as a weapon. We also don't take the Word away as a consequence. Oh, because you've been so ill-behaved, you're not going to church. You see, it sounds like it's a lot of fun, and it's supposed to be, but it's not about the fun. As long as I'm in charge, God's in charge, but as long as I'm the under-shepherd in charge here, every time we have an opportunity to be with your kids, there is a spiritual component in which we want to teach them the Word of God. We're not just hanging with your kids. So please don't take church away as a consequence. You can take maybe the activity that's connected away. Yeah, you're not going out to ice cream with the youth afterwards. But don't take church away. Just that's from one parent to another parent. And I don't get anything out of it. It's just more work for us to have more. You follow what I'm saying? But it's important that they stay rooted in their faith. I'm telling you, we're on the other side of this thing now. And I would just say, as Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. My kids have not turned their backs on the Lord. And I think one of the reasons, somebody gave us godly counsel at a very young age when we were parents and said the same thing. Don't take church away from them. It's not something to be a consequence. And it all goes back to the faith. Paul goes back the second time to Lystra. Years later have passed. And Timothy's risen as this leader in the church. And Tim is spoken of so fondly that Paul says, I'm going to take him under my wing. He's going to be an intern. That's what he says. He's going to be an intern. He's going to be my intern. And I'm going to work with him. I'm going to help him to, you know, sand off the rough edges. And it all goes back to the faith of mama, and it all goes back to the faith of grandmama. Listen, you're going to mess up as a mom. That is my declaration of faith that I speak prophetically over you. You are going to mess up as a mama. You're going to do it because you're human. It's okay. There's no really way around it because you're not perfect. But one area you cannot mess up in is the area of faith with your children. Listen, no one knows better than your child if your faith is genuine or not. Moms, listen to me. If you want to instill authentic faith in your children, then you need to take your own faith very seriously. How do you do that? Let me give you a couple of easy peasy ways. Number one, you need to read your Bible, and your children need to know that you're reading your Bible. If it's dusty, you know what I'm saying. Dust it off and start reading that word. Get in that word. Pray regularly for your kids. Let them see you praying and let them hear you praying. Oh, God, I call out the name of my daughter and my son to you. And it's okay to kind of shout that while they're in their bedroom and they can hear you praying for them. It's okay to do that. Pray unto God, but let them hear you praying for them. Not just, although you should when you tuck them in at night, pray for them. But I'm talking about let them hear you interceding for them. And then thirdly, be faithful to the gatherings. Be faithful to groups. Be faithful to those things because you're setting the bar. I mean, I don't know why we think our kids are going to be so faithful. You follow me? No guilt. We're not about guilt. challenging you, stretching you. Talk to them. Listen, this is a big one. Talk to them about their faith, but also talk to them about your growing faith. That's a big one. Take risk for a parent to talk to their child about their faith. I challenge you, I double dog dare you to have a conversation this week, moms and dads, with your children, not just about their faith. Here's a question that I ask. How are you doing spiritually? How are you doing with your walk with God? How's it going? Well, let me tell you how I'm doing, right? And it's not like they're your counselor, like you can dump your stuff on your children, but let them know that you also are walking this thing out. Remember, you're raising adults. You're not raising children. You don't want them to stay. You don't want them to stay home forever. You don't want that, right? You want to go buy a little house with not a lot of room. So I'm just having fun. I love my children. I do very much. But I want them to be adults. And I want them to change this world. And they're on loan to you. They aren't your kids anyway. Tayshia doesn't belong to me. Kyra doesn't belong to me. Trinity doesn't belong to me. Kyler does not belong to me. They belong to God. And he has called me to make sure that I take care of his children. Can you say amen? Yes. Your job is to get them ready for God's special call in their life. I bet Lois and Eunice must have felt like giving up. Like when their husbands died and they were forced to support themselves, they were forced to support their families. I imagine they probably felt a little bit like this, don't you think?
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Come on now. They probably felt a little bit emotionally like that. But I bet, I don't know. I tried to find the timeline, but I couldn't find it in history books that I have access to. But I would imagine that in the timeline of when Grandpa and Daddy died, and all of this stuff was coming down on, falling down on their shoulders, and they were standing upon the scriptures, but it was falling short. They needed something else, and I bet that was about the time that God sends a man named Paul, who used to be named Saul, who had a life change experience himself, showed up in this village, this community of Lystra, preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, and for the first time in a while, this family has hope. They have joy. They have peace. Something, I mean, it's a transformation took place inside of them. And Lois and Eunice became these team teachers, which I think is beautiful if a mama and a grandmama can team together to help the children. Because there's a lot of wisdom that comes from the older generation, from the grandmothers and the great-grandmothers. There's wisdom that comes from that, things to do and things not to do. And if you think, well, they messed up as my mom, and now they're a grandma, I don't necessarily want to fall. Listen, people get older, and they change, and they begin to see things through a different lens. And if you ask them, if you had it to do over again, would you do it over again? And they say, nope, then maybe you ought to just kind of do your own thing. But if they say, you better believe I would, then listen to what they say and allow grace to be applied both ways. Oh, that's a good word, Troy. They taught Timothy about Adam and Eve. They taught Timothy about Cain and Abel, about Noah, about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Taught him about all of Gibeon, all of these Old Testament characters. I'm sure they said, hey, Timmy, how many books are in the Old Testament? Which at that time, it would be how many books are in the Torah, how many books are in the Bible, right? And he would, 39, like flashcards on little chiseled rocks or something. I'm not sure how they did it. Hey, who got swallowed by the big fish? Jonah, yes. Do you see what they did? Who were those three Hebrew boys in that fiery furnace? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yes. So that's the Old Testament stories. And you're like, you can't ask those questions. If you don't know, no guilt. Let's just start reading it together. And if you want to know where to begin or what resource to use so you're not overwhelmed, let your church family help you. When Timothy grew up, he worked alongside his mentor, whose name was Paul. And Paul probably said to Timothy something like this. This is my discourse. You know how your mama and your grandmama taught you? Remember how your mom and your grandmother sat you on their laps, and on many occasions they would read to you the word of God, and they would read it out loud? And Timothy's probably, yes. Do you know the Bible is God's inspired word? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16, Paul reminds him that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. See, Paul is writing this letter to Timothy to remind him that all that scripture, breathed by God, and it's all useful for every aspect of leadership in the church. Do you remember when I told you to meditate on these things? Paul's asking Timothy, do you remember when I told you to give yourself wholly to these things, that your profiting will appear to all? Well, listen, Timothy, it's time for you to go to Ephesus. Young Timothy, it's time for you to stand behind the blood-stained cross and preach the word of God with boldness and with confidence. I am telling you, it is time for you to go. And Timothy's like, but I'm too young. No one, Paul, is going to listen to me. You should go. And Paul says in the letter to Timothy, he says, I command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. He's telling Timothy straight up, oh no, you can't do this, but God can do this through you. I mean, this is a conversation that is taking place, but I don't know what to do. So he tells him in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and teaching. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you're going to save both yourself and your hearers. And then he tells him in the second letter something similar to it. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Timothy, listen, you are a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. So he's telling him this in this conversation. Is it going to be hard? Paul, is it going to be hard? Yes, it's going to be hard. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. It's going to get tough, boy. Listen, son, it's going to be very, very difficult for you. People are going to be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to the parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving. They're going to be slanderous, without self-control. They're going to be brutal and not lovers of the good. They're going to be treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. So Paul's not pulling any punches. Well, it's going to be tough, but you're going to be okay, man. It's going to be all right, little Timbo. He's telling him, I am sending you with two buckets of chum, and I'm throwing you in the South Atlantic. And there's sharks swirling all around you, and it's going to look like you're going to die. That's what he's telling little teenage Timbo, right? Who was raised by grandmama and raised by mama in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord under the scriptures of Almighty God. And he says, I'm not sure I can do this. Remember what your mama taught you. Don't cut corners with the truth. When they will not listen to you, Tim, listen to me. You keep on preaching. When they're not listening to you, keep on preaching the gospel. You endure like a good soldier. And then he says in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verse number 10, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life. This is Paul talking to his mentee. My purpose, my faith, my patience, love, endurance, my persecutions. You know about my sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from them all. Yeah. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus is going to be persecuted. Whoa, wait a minute. I thought we was talking about little Timbo here, Troy. Hit the reverse button, right? It says everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, this is when it shifts, not just to Timothy, but it shifts to us. Continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it. Who did he learn it from? Grandmama and mama. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, training, correcting, and righteousness, so that the servant of God, that's you, Timbo, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Can you do this? No. Can you do this with Jesus? Nothing can stop you, Timothy. What would have happened if Lois decided I'm going to go the way of the world? What would have happened if Eunice said, yeah, that was for my mama, but boy, she was the odd duck. She was the strange one. I think I'm going to go the way of my friends. What would have happened Would Timothy have been shaped into the young man that God had designed him to be? I don't think so. Listen, motherhood is hard. It's not a joke. It's very difficult. And the enemy is on a mission to convince you that you are a horrible mother, that you're a horrible wife, that you're a horrible woman. But you listen to me. Listen to me very closely. We're going to close that door, please. Let's get that door closed. Thank you, teens. I appreciate it so much. There is only one who has fallen and cannot get up, and his name is Satan. Everybody else, there is grace. To everybody else, there is redemption. To everybody else, there is mercy. And to everybody else, there is forgiveness from God. You do the best as you can as a mama. You do the best you can as a grandmama. You do the best you can as a woman. Then you trust God to do the rest. You might blow it at times, but listen to me. You are not a failure. You can get up. Help! I've fallen, and I can't. The only thing worse than saying, help, I've fallen, and I can't get up, is help, I'm up, and I can't fall. And that's what Satan did. And that's why he was cast out of heaven. Because of the pride of life. So there's two sides to the coin. And I think about 99% of women, of moms, fall on the one side of the coin that says, help, help, I've fallen, and I feel like a failure. But there's 1% out there that has pride that says, I'm up and I cannot fall. Don't be that lady either. Let's instead remember that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Remember that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. That's what my Bible says. Remember that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Remember that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And remember that all things are possible. Only believe in God. Someone say amen this morning, right? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. How many mamas, grandmamas would receive this word this morning? Would you receive the word of God? Would you raise your hand and say, I received that word to me this morning. I hope you receive that word. Praise the Lord. We want to wish you a very, very happy Mother's Day. And at this time, we want to transition just a few minutes. So we're going to ask for, in the back, we're going to make sure we do these raffles. So Tayshia, if you'll assist me, please. You were the one to put all this stuff together. So we want to give you the praise, the glory. Yes, we're proud of you. Right on. And aren't we proud of our teenagers for all their volunteerism, their service? Look at this good-looking group back there. We're so proud of you guys. Man, you know what's so cool about naming the pastor of New Life Church? I remember when most of y'all were in kids' church. I remember when some of y'all were barely in kids' church. I'm just really, really proud of you. So this is exciting. So the teenagers now. Go ahead, Miss Tayshia, we're going to do the drawing. What's the first one we're drawing for? The car wash. And the winner is... We're going to read the number. Ladies, take out your tickets. If you put it in for the car wash... And there it is. Read the number, please.
915-850.
915-850. Who's the winner of that one? Oh, yeah, Arlene. Right on. Congratulations. Man, if I were you, I'd go like off-roading before you take it to him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's what I would do. Right on. And the second one. What's the second one, Miss Tayshia? Child care, baby, or husband care, whatever. Yes. All right, let's see it.
915-753.
Who's got that one? Whoa, yes. Nice. Cindy got that one. Congratulations, Cindy. That's exciting. Yes, you're like, that's the one I wanted. I think Cindy went to the copy machine, copied about 100 more of those tickets. Well, I think I'm good job, Cindy. All right, and what's the last one, Tayshia?
House cleaning.
What is this? Is a big one. Come on out. You get your house clean by the teenagers who typically mess up the house. So let's.
915-827.
915-827. Yeah! Aaliyah wins it. Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Man, that's so exciting. Congratulations, Aaliyah. Congratulations, Cindy. Congratulations, Arlene. We're happy for you guys. But listen, mamas, we don't want you. Mamas and grandmamas, we don't want you to feel like you didn't win today, because you did win. And I realize that we're celebrating women today, but we've got a special prize, not prize, special gift of appreciation for the mothers. And what, that the gift of appreciation really isn't this. The gift of appreciation is we want to pray for you before we leave today. And so we're going to ask that all the mothers and grandmothers, if you would please, and if you, we're not talking, listen, you might have, we said at the very beginning, you might have lost a child. You're still a mother, right? And so if you're in the category, we'd like you to come and stand up here, and we'd like you to just take one of these gifts and remain standing. And we're going to close with a word of prayer over you this morning. So can we just clap for these mamas and grandmas that are coming up here? Come on up here right now, please. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, come on up here. Come on up here. Oh, you know what? Praise the Lord. We're going to do offering in just a second before we leave, because Troy forgot about that earlier. I apologize. Thank you. That's probably why they were waving their arms really big at me in the back. I apologize. So, but still, take your gift. Let us bless you, and then we'll sit down and we'll conclude our worship by taking the offering this morning, okay? Please, take a gift. This gift is full of, it's sugar-free, fat-free, calorie-free. It will not go to the hit. I'm just saying it won't do that because we prayed over this candy, so God bless you. I want us to pray. And I want us to pray with sincere hearts. So if you are in the crowd, I want you to stretch your hand up toward these people, these wonderful ladies up here. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to say thank you. Thank you for mamas. Thank you for grandmamas. Thank you, Lord God, that you are an amazing God. I want to say thank you, Lord God, for the heart of a mother that says, I will protect my child. I will help my child. I'll even allow myself to be temporarily even hated by my child for their betterment. For their betterment. God, we're serving you. We're not serving them. So we ask God in Jesus' name that for the mothers up here that are in the trenches right now, that are going through the dirty faces and the messy rooms and the schedules and the shuffling and the late night, I got to go buy what for tomorrow? We just bless them in Jesus' name. We ask, God, that you grant patience and help them to be, remind them, God, that this job doesn't last forever. And Lord, I pray that we keep our eyes fixed on the prize, the goal that is at hand, and that is we're raising adults for Jesus. For those, God, that are on the other side, maybe their kids are gone right now, empty nesters, or they're on their way out, or they're enjoying grandparenting, or maybe their children live far away. We ask in Jesus' name that you would wrap your arms of love and strength and courage and help around them, God. For those that have children that are wayward right now, we pray in Jesus' name that you would help these Loises and these Eunices, God, to be a part of bringing them back into the fold. Father, we just bless each one of these ladies in their own unique way. We ask, God, that you would go before them, bless them in their coming and bless them in their going, we pray. In the awesome, powerful, anointed, holy, wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And if you agree, say amen. Amen and amen and amen. As you're sitting down, let's give them one more hand. Can we do that? Have a seat for me, please. Praise the Lord. Ushers, would you come at this time? We're going to receive our morning tithes and offerings. Of course, we don't do this because, oh yeah, we need to do this. Really, we do this because you need to do this, because you need to continue to be blessed by God. And so as the ushers are here, we're just going to bless this offering. What a fitting thing to do at the end of the gathering, because isn't that what we do? Is we sacrifice. We sacrifice unto God as mamas every day. Father, bless this offering. We recognize that this offering represents hundreds of hours of labor. We recognize the sacrifice that people are doing, committing to bring their tithes and their offerings into the storehouse. Lord, this great ministry just wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for everybody collaborating and working together and doing our part. So God, we ask in Jesus' name that you would bless this offering. May it be more than enough to meet the needs so we can expand the ministries and see your kingdom come and your will be done right here in Lathrop, in Weston Ranch, in South Manteca, in River Islands, and in Tracy, and to the ends of the earth. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Would you say amen? Amen, amen. God bless you as you give this morning. And now I'm going to tell, I have never shared this with you before, but I have a talent. I'm going to do my first public yodeling. So allow me to do that for you. No. Yeah, please don't do that, Troy. So no, we're not going to, yeah, no. Praise the Lord. Thanks for your gifts today. I hope you feel blessed as a mama. I hope you have a great time. And if we see you at Macaroni Grill at about 2:00, then we'll just wave at you as well, because that's where we're taking mamas today. I'm just so excited about it. So God bless you. Have a great Mother's Day. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he make his face shine upon you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. May he give you rest. and may he give you peace. Listen, dads, I said, may he give your wife rest, and may he give her peace. God bless you, friends. Happy Mother's Day. You are dismissed. Amen.